and all the rationale would go, and people would lay a hold of this one thing, this one vital thing in this hour. Lord, you have your way. Lord, just give me freedom in your spirit to speak boldly, O God. I've got much, O God, upon my heart that I feel this people needs. And I need liberty in your spirit this morning. And I pray that you would anoint every mind and every heart to receive your word. Lord, you have your way this morning. You have your way, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus.
Behold, my beloved children, your God is present to impart unto thee needed strength that you might truly overcome the enemy of your soul and be a victor in this last day. For I do not intend that your deliverances be only for a season. My desire is that the enemy would be routed out of your life entirely and that you would stay free in your God. My desire is that you not only be defended against his attacks and plans upon your souls, but that you would be raised up and become an offensive army that can totally obliterate his presence within my church and within those that are waiting to become part of my victorious last day church. I desire to set a clear standard in this last day. Yea, my heart is that his ways would be totally dark and that my ways would be totally light and that all who would observe with an honest heart could clearly see the choice. Therefore, my beloved, I must be very thorough with thee, for I am a jealous God and I do desire all of your vessels for me to occupy. Yea, it is totally against my loving ways to leave even one small area in your vessel uncleansed and weakened by the presence of the evil one. Therefore, take heed unto that which I would speak through my servant this hour, for I have dealt with him, and I have given him my very heart for you, and I would have you to listen diligently unto that which is laid out before you, and to act upon it, for I shall give you all that you need to make the decisions that are necessary to become free, and to stay free, and to become warriors for your God. Do not allow the enemy to distract you or to lull you to sleep, for I am giving you battle plans, my beloved, and I would have you to seriously absorb them into your very being, that my work and my desire might be accomplished within you, yea, and within this earth in the last day.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how they can do this, really, but I'd like that on the beginning of the sermon tape, if you can, somehow, so that when they check it out, they get that with the sermon. I'm going to speak very, very plain. I'm going to speak very plain today. I am deeply concerned. And God has been dealing with my heart. And the title of my message, and if you turn your mind off at this point, I don't know what's going to happen to you. And I'm not being melodramatic. I know that this is the path of deliverance. And you need deliverance. The majority of you have not even begun to be delivered in this move of God. And that's the absolute truth. It's the absolute truth. And if you turn your mind off to this, which is the pathway, this goes right along with a pastor's sermon on the cross. Discipleship begins at the cross. That and this are the two things. And I know it absolutely. I know it absolutely. I've titled this, "It is time to really pray." It is time to really pray. Throw away your study on prayer notebook. Throw away all your abilities to give Bible studies on prayer and hear what God has to say to you about prayer today. I'd like to read James chapter 5. James 5, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Now let me give you a more literal, expanded reading. It would be confessing therefore your sins to one another for your own interest. And be praying for one another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous one is having much strength, being at work within. Elijah was a man of like passions as us, and he prayed prayer that it might not rain. And it didn't, and then he prayed again, and it did. These are the points. First of all, it doesn't say faults. The Greek says harmartia. Confess your sins. We must confess our sins. And I'll tell you, the first one, we haven't prayed. I'll tell you, and I know what I'm talking about. The devil has perpetrated a scheme on this church that is really clever. And he has got most of you so you are religious and have no real relationship with Jesus. And that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. And you don't know how to pray. You don't even know how to call on God. But you've got to call on God or you're not going to get delivered. That's the first sin. And we have got to confess that before God. I can go around to your lives and ask you one by one, what kind of real prayer life do you have with Jesus? And if you'll be honest, you'll admit to me you don't have a prayer life. That is the truth, brethren. That is the truth. It has been perpetrated on this church so cleverly. It's been a master strategy. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. Now, you visitors, you don't even know what I'm talking about. This church has more spirituality, more dedication, more prayer, more faith, more Word than about any other church on planet Earth. So what has the devil had to do to get us drugged down? He has had to author a master scheme to head this church off the bluff. And if you don't think he's been working overtime in your lives with clever strategies, then you know nothing about him. We are getting the Word like very few churches. But how many of you really have a relationship with God in the Word? Where you're really spending time, where there is such a drawing, you've got to be in the Word, reading the Word, feeding upon the Word, standing on the Word. Most of you don't have that relationship with the Word of God. It's the truth. It is the truth. It is the absolute truth. And it's from the older ones down to the newer ones. It's a master strategy of the devil. It's a master strategy. A master strategy. You can give Bible studies on prayer. You can give Bible studies on the Word of God. You can preach sermons. You can do all sorts of things. But what sort of relationship do you really have with Jesus? Where is our first love? Where is our first love? See, where is it? Where is it really? It is non-existent to a large degree. Now, this is not true with everyone, but I, in my opinion, how I feel, it's true with a large part of this body of believers. Please stay with me. Please stay with me. Please listen. Please open your heart. Don't let the demons in you get offended and let their feeling think you're the one offended. You're not offended by the truth. They're offended by the truth. Now, the second thing, as we confess our sins, it places us in a righteous position. We've got to be in this righteous position. What is the basis of real prayer, confession, repentance, and forgiveness? Now, we have got to take this pathway. The King James says, effectual fervent prayer. The Greek for effectual fervent is not an adjective. It's a verb, energeo. It's showing the in-working power of prayer. It's not talking about prayer, giving a description to prayer. It's telling what prayer does. God is trying to show us what prayer is supposed to do, not give it some glowing description. We have all the glowing descriptions of prayer, but we don't have the in-working power of prayer. We need the in-working power. Real prayer, it's saying here, avails much inwardly in man's soul and spirit. Now, how many of us really have prayer that is availing much in our soul and spirit? How many of you are really praying hours? How many of you are really on your face before God? The majority of our congregation is not. And I don't care about the prayer meetings you go to. And I don't care about you coming early to church and chit-chatting and praying a bit. I mean a real prayer life. When demons see you coming, do they say, oh, no, not her, not him. They know how to pray. Is that what the demons are saying when they see us coming? They say, oh, it's him. Big deal. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. That's why when we kneel down, we know we got demons in here, we pray, and we can't get anything up. We got nothing in us to bring them up. We don't have a hold on the power of God to get these things out. We have got to really call on God. Now see, I am for you. I am for you. I am not here bawling out anybody. I am trying to expose the devil and his working in your lives. And if you won't let God tear down the facades and the pretense and the hypocrisy and the forms of godliness, we're not going to go anywhere in this move of God. And I'm just beginning. I have things here that I know are right from God's heart. As a challenge to call you, to draw you, to bring you to decision, to open your eyes. I want you free. I want every one of you free. Every one of you can be free. That's the will of God. Now it says Elijah was subject there in verse 17 to like passions. It doesn't say that in the Greek. It just says Elijah was a man of like passions. If he was subject to the flesh and to his carnal nature, then he could not have been subject to God. He wasn't subject to those things. He possessed the same human frame, but he soared above that by faith. He wasn't subject to his carnal nature, his human passions. He soared above it by faith. The Greek doesn't say subject. He wasn't subject. And then the key point in these verses is that it said, it doesn't say he prayed earnestly. The Greek is literally, he prayed with prayer. He prayed prayer. You know what that tells us? That we can pray all sorts of things that aren't prayer. What are most people doing on planet Earth that pray? They're praying something that's not prayer. They're not praying prayer. We have got to find out what prayer is and begin to pray it. Really, this is the absolute truth. Now, I'm going to just go through a whole list of points things that I just feel so strongly upon my heart. And these are the things that we have got to get a hold of, because we must become men and women like Elijah that pray prayer. That when we say, no rain, no rain. When we say to the storm, peace, be still, calm. When we walk to the gate beautiful and the man is lame, we say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, I command you to rise up and walk. And the man rises up and walks, is healed. See, that's praying prayer. That's being joined to God's heart, knowing His will, knowing His mind, knowing His power, knowing where we fit in that. This is the call of God for the man-child. This is the call of God for the bride of Christ. I have heard it so many times, there'll be no men of God if they don't have a life of prayer. And that has convicted me every single time I've ever heard it. And it still does. But I'm doing something about it. And you've got to do something about it. And if we don't do it in this hour, God's going to separate the sheep from the goats. We're going to have a separation. And see, no matter what, I know there's a nucleus of people here that will go on with God. Because we're going to get our deliverances at all costs. We're going to become people of prayer at all costs. And, if our church, through all this time, I don't believe this is going to happen, but if it did, if our church was pruned down to 500 people, and all you had was 500 people just sitting here, and everybody else was gone, because they wouldn't really begin to do business with God, then from that group, God will be able to build a brand new generation. We don't have to lose the first generation. We don't want to lose the first generation. But we've got to take this pathway. And if you don't hear this, and if you don't do something about it, and if you don't put away your excuses and your rationale and all the rest, I really fear for your soul. And I mean that absolutely. And I feel that God means it. The first thing that we have to do, we need to call on God and say, teach us to pray. That's the first thing. I have felt that so keenly on my own heart for myself. I am calling on God every day. I am waiting on my face before God. I'm saying, God, teach me to pray. I know that that's the drawing of God's Spirit on my life. If God's drawing on my life, He's drawing on all your lives. We have got to say, Lord, teach us to pray. We have got to admit what kind of a prayer life we really have. We've got to admit these things, honestly, objectively. If we have to all admit that we're totally bankrupt, that's what we have to admit. If that's where we have to begin, that's where we have to begin. So we've got to call on Him. They watched Jesus pray. His disciples did. They saw Him pray. And they came to Him afterwards and they said, Master, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, O God. Teach us to pray. Not teach us how to give Bible studies. Not how to preach sermons. Because as you wait on God, He'll teach you that by His Spirit. That's where He really wants to teach us, in the Spirit. We've been taught in the classroom, which is good, but we haven't been taught in the Spirit. Because we haven't waited on God. We haven't really waited on God. We got tons of prayer meetings, and that's good. And we got people coming early and praying, and that's good. But we've got to wait on God. We have a lot of forms of godliness. As I mentioned, I don't feel that we know how to pray. That's my feeling. I feel like that's God's analysis of this people. And if that offends you, I can't do anything about it. Because I feel that that's what I've got to tell you. And you can come and argue with me, fine, go ahead. But I think if you come and argue, I think that proves my point. In many cases, we can pray for other people, but we don't know how to pray for ourselves. Most people here have ministered themselves out of their own prayer life. Really. Ministered themselves right out of their own prayer life. Oh, they can pray for others. They can witness. They can counsel. They can teach. They can preach. But where's their own prayer life? Well, they wait on God to get their message. That's good. But that's not enough. It's not enough. It's as though we hate and despise our own soul and don't even realize it. It's like the devil has really perpetrated a plan where we end up hating our own soul and we don't even know it. We don't even realize what's going on. We must be careful in this hour of deliverance that you don't minister yourself out of your deliverance. We're having to tell certain people, you can't pray for anybody. We're having to go right up to them and say, oh, brother, I'm not going to let you pray for anybody. I want you to go right over there on the floor and lay down. I'll get some people to pray for you. But I'm not going to let you pray with anybody, because you're going to minister yourself right out of your own deliverance. One lady, and don't take offense, I'm having contact with all sorts of things. If it's you I'm talking about, nobody else knows. Between you, me, and the fence post, one lady volunteered for something, and it was a benevolent offer. I said, no way. I won't let you volunteer for that, because you're going to volunteer your way out of your deliverance. If you can volunteer your time for that, then you need to be over here on your face before God. And that's the truth. That is really the truth. Now, the second thing is, we must become the man of importunity. We have got to be the person who keeps seeking, keeps asking, keeps knocking, no matter what the cost. We have got to do this. Prayer is to be open, honest, and continuous before God. We must seek God in this hour. We have got to be calling on God in this hour. We must really wait on God. Now, that is not the hardest thing for religious people. I don't know what is. If that's not the hardest thing for doers, I don't know what is. We got a church of doers, which is good, but we're missing something. Really waiting on God. And no matter what you feel, wait on God. No matter what you feel, wait on God. Keep knocking at that door. Keep knocking at that door. Keep knocking at that door. In Psalm 42, it talks about how our soul is like that hart panting after the water brooks. And then it talks about how the enemies come and say, where is your God? What are those enemies? If you read the Psalms and you begin to notice all the references to evildoers, wicked ones, and begin to realize that he's talking first and foremost about demon spirits, you're going to get a new revelation. Who comes and whispers in your ear or pounds in your ear when you try to wait on God? Say, well, you've been here 10 minutes. Where is God? Why hasn't he come? Why don't you feel the presence of God? You need to say, I don't care why I don't feel the presence of God. God knows I'm here. He knows what he's doing. And you evildoers are not going to rob me of waiting on God. You have got to come to grips with this. I've got to come to grips with it. Every single one of us has got to. Or you won't get delivered. I'll guarantee it. I will guarantee it. And even if you get delivered, you won't stay delivered. Because if you don't have a life of prayer, you won't stay delivered. And if you don't have a life in the Word of God, you won't stay delivered. And if you don't realize your place in the body of Christ, you won't stay delivered. I absolutely guarantee it. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know this absolutely. There's not one shred of doubt or question in my mind. I know there's many things about this I don't understand, but those things I know that I understand. We must pray, 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 not counsel, counsel, counsel. Talk, talk, talk. Every day I come over here and people want to talk, talk, talk. They want counsel, counsel, counsel. That's why I put that in the bulletin. God has not called me to a counseling ministry. God anointed me to pray for people, to lead them in their deliverance. And counseling isn't leading people in their deliverance. Now, I will be glad to talk with people and tell them what they need to do. But that's what this sermon is for. So if you keep coming to me, what I'm going to say, did you hear my sermon last Sunday morning? That's what you need to do. If you say no, I'll tell you to go check it out. Because we've got to pray. We've got to pray, 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 pray. That's what we've got to do in this hour. Are you being buffeted? Are you being battled? Of course you are. What would you expect? This is the pathway of deliverance. Don't think the devil's going to stand back and say, be my guest. Go right ahead and pray. It's wonderful that you want to pray now. It's going to cause me to be booted out of your life. I just can't wait to be booted out into the dry places. He is going to contest you. He is going to fight you. You're going to feel like the heavens are brass. You're going to be like there's no God in heaven. But what's God trying to teach you there? You've got to hold to His Word no matter what you feel. You've got to hold to His Word no matter what you feel. You've got to take the truth no matter what you feel. That's what you have to do in war. You don't want to get out of that foxhole. Who wants to get out of the foxhole? Bullets zinging by, bombs exploding. Who wants to get out of the foxhole? Nobody wants to get out of the foxhole. But how do you win the battle? In the foxhole? Hidden away, shaking, cowering. Oh, enemies out there. You got to get out and fight him. It's a battle. Now, you can't do it in your own strength. You don't got the strength. There's somebody in heaven who's got the strength. He's sending forth angels to give us strength. Well, I don't feel them. Faith. 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 Faith in the Word of God. God's going to teach us what faith really is. We got all the definitions on faith, and we still live by feelings. God has a call for this church that is going to demand a mature people. And that's His call. He didn't give us our pastor, who has been trained up in the Word all these years, to put him over a group of weak, willy-nilly, spineless people. God didn't call that man to be over that kind of people. God called that man to be able to speak the truth and lead a people into the deeper things of God. But those people are going to have to walk with God. Really walk with God. And we're going to have to stop changing one another's diapers and making sure the bottle of milk is not dripping down the chin. We have got to grow up. Some of you, you've been here for a long time. You've been here for a long time and you still don't know how to pray. You're not going to get delivered unless you come down to these prayer meetings. You've got to come to these prayer meetings and wait on God. You've got to start calling on God. You've got to do that. If you won't, I'll guarantee there will be no deliverance. Now, God has come down, and He's delivered some people, and now where are they at right now? I know one brother that was delivered the first day that Keith was here. Tremendous deliverance. He has every one of those demons back in him. He's seeing pictures move on the wall. He's seeing all sorts of things, all demonic. He knows they're all back. And he says, I like the feeling. So what if God comes down and just delivers you? Just delivers you. And you're still a weak, willy-nilly, defeated soldier, but now no demons in you. Those demons aren't going to come back and pounce on you. They're going to come back and pounce on you like never before. They're going to come back with a fury. They're going to come back with a vengeance. That's what's going to happen. We have got to have God build us up so we can put those demons out of our lives by His power and then walk in that. This is a real battle. This is a real war. God is going to make you into warriors. I look around here, and some of you have been moping around for years. You know what God's going to make you into if you come down here and start praying? He's going to make you into a soldier. He's going to put muscle on those bones. He's going to give you ability to wield that sword and do business with God. But it's not going to happen as you sit around in your living room moping and groaning. You've got to come down here and do the hardest thing maybe you've ever had to do, and that's get on your face before God. That's really the truth. It's really the truth. I'm seeing this day after day after day with every person I'm talking to. Notice, I have to talk to them. Talk, talk, talk. Well, I'm not going to do that. Because God didn't call me to a talking ministry for this summer. I've talked 3 hours a day for 30 weeks in Bible college. I'm done talking. It's time to pray. It is time to seek God. Now, yes, we're going to keep talking and preaching sermons and all of that, of course. But we set up these prayer meetings to be prayer meetings, to wait on God and to learn how to get a hold of God. And again, I'm not upset at anybody. I am upset at the devil. And, you know, I just want you to be free. I want you to take a hold of this. Many are not really praying because they have not yet seen and realized how desperately they need deliverance. Do you know that every one of you, in my opinion, has demons in you? I don't care how well you've been walking. You may have just suppressed them for years. We need to come to grips. I got demons in here. Or if you can't believe that, begin to say, God, show me. Reveal it to me. If you had just one demon, what is one demon like? Does that demon have enough power to destroy you? Does that demon have enough power to get you into the lake of fire? What's it like? I just have a little small bit of cancer in here. Just a little cancer. But what does a little cancer do? It grows and becomes a big cancer. I got just a little leaven. Just a little. I got it controlled. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. We need demons. Really? Demons. Real demons. Hateful, destructive, vengeful demons in us. Some people, yeah, I got demons in me. So what? Where's the revelation? Where is the impact? Some of you have not even really been impacted by this. You know how I know? Hardly anybody's coming to these prayer meetings. And I don't care about your work schedules. And I don't care about your tiredness. And I don't care about the other excuses. You got demons. And they're going to destroy you. And I don't care what any other Christian on planet Earth says. Hey, community, tell God the deep end again. There's weird old people. Demons, demons, demons. Yeah, that's right, because it is demons, demons, demons. And if we don't get a hold of this, they're going to consume us. God spoke through our pastor's wife. And God made it very clear, if these things are not uprooted out of us, they're going to consume us. And they've already consumed a major part of our lives. That cankerworm has been devouring and devouring our ministry, our walk, our prayer life, our life in the Word, freedom to preach, freedom to witness, the joy of our salvation, until we're going just by the principles. Demons of legalism have robbed many of you. There's some of you, you are so bound up by demons of religion and legalism, and you're so convinced that you're walking the straight and narrow. Yeah, you're walking the straight and narrow right to the lake of fire, and you don't even know it. And that is the truth, my brother. That is the truth. And I don't want to lose you. I don't want those demons to claim you. I know some of you right now can't even see this for the hand in front of your face. You better get on your face before God. God called you to this church. He put a pastor. He put elders over you. He put teachers. He's not giving you all the revelation first. He is working through a pyramid government. And when those men all stand up and say, you got demons, you need to get on your face, and you don't, that's rebellion. It says to obey them that have the rule over you. Why am I speaking with such concern? Because you're going to be destroyed if you're not careful. Are you making too big of a deal out of it? You cannot make too big of a deal out of the lake of fire. You can't make too big of a deal out of these demons. It's like saying somebody, well, you're in the Bible too much. You're praying too much. You can't be in the Bible too much. You can't be praying too much. Real praying and being really in the Word of God. We need a revelation. We need a revelation from God. Some of you are going to just have to come before God and say, Lord, help me. And begin to mean that for maybe the first time in maybe many years or maybe many months. Prayer is a command of God. It's not an option. And I know God is commanding us in this hour that we've got to pray. You can know somebody through their letters, but you can never know them in the same way until you meet them face to face. And the majority of people, unfortunately, know God through His letters. I can tell you, God is one, God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, God is love, God is grace, God is mercy. I got all the letters down. But where's the Spirit? Where's the life? Where's the real revelation? Most of us don't even have the beginning revelation, in a sense, about the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Really, see, these demons have robbed us. We got all sorts of intellectual knowledge, and we've had enough revelation to get saved, fill the Holy Ghost, and do business with God. But as far as the real revelation, what's your real revelation about God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's plan for your life? What kind of a revelation do you really have about those things? Well, I hear you speaking about it all the time, but I don't know if it really applies to me or not. That's the way a lot of people are. I told one brother last night, I said, if I can walk with God, you can walk with God. Like, I've always had a big problem with that one. Yeah, he's had a big problem with a demon spirit in that area. If you can backslide, if you can exercise your will to backslide, you can exercise your will to walk with God. Because there's no more power available to walk with God than the power of those demons against you, forcing you to backslide. If you can walk out of this church, you can walk in it for these prayer meetings. I told that brother, there's only one thing God's asking you right now, and that's to come to these prayer meetings. He's not asking you to witness. He's not asking you to teach. He's not asking you to do anything. He's asking you to come and pray. Because he's not in any place to do any of those other things. He's got to get delivered, but he's got to come and pray. Some are saying, well, I can't pray because I got to get delivered first. Lie. That is a lie. That is a lie. You've got to begin to come and just talk to God. That's what prayer is. Admitting your feelings, admitting your defeats, admitting your frustrations. That is beginning to expose those demons. Because what's been happening is you've been thinking all those feelings all these years are you, and they're not you at all. And so because you thought they were you, you haven't really been able to voice them to God because you kind of felt so bad about having that feeling. You wouldn't want anybody to know and hope nobody sees this nakedness. Those have been those demons all this time. Now, yes, we got some carnal weaknesses and carnal appetites, but that's only a drop in the bucket, in my opinion, in comparison to what these demons have done and all the feelings they've put upon us. We're praying with people, and right as we get them to the point of they're strong, their will is there, they've been made into a soldier, they've been waiting on God, that demon unleashes an attack of feelings like you wouldn't believe unless you've experienced it. Just feeling, like one brother I think just felt such guilt. So because of that feeling of guilt, it just cut him off from taking that next step to boot that demon out. But that feeling was not him. That feeling was the demon himself. It was his strategy. What do you mean I feel it? It's got to be me. It's not you. That feeling's not you. It's that demon. But unless you're there before God and letting him expose this and give you the strength and the revelation, you're not going to get free. You're not going to get free just boycotting the prayer meetings and saying, God knows where I am. God knows my address. God knows my name. That's like the person who wants to get filled with the Holy Spirit, comes down, prays for 10 minutes, gets all discouraged, runs out the door and says, God knows where I am. If he really wants to fill me, he'll do it. No, he won't. Because God sets up the conditions. God sets up the conditions. Man doesn't set up these conditions. Some are saying, oh, it's so hard to pray. But I say, whoever said it was going to be easy? Who said it was just going to be a breeze to pray? We must see who is keeping us from praying. Demons and our own carnal weaknesses. But don't try to straighten out your carnal weaknesses so much at this point. Deal with those demons. Make right decisions to stand against the flesh. Yes, but that's not going to solve it. Some of you are doing this. And I'm all over the map, I know it. Because that's because I got so much in here. I get back to the map every once in a while. You'll just have to bear with me. But some of you, as you're praying, you're doing the same thing that you've always done before. You see a weakness and you attack it for a while and then you feel better and so you walk in a new moral reform, still not delivered. That's not going to get you anywhere. We're not wanting people just to get better for a short time. We're wanting people free, 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 free to really go with God. And that's what God wants. Right now, we're weak soldiers. People are coming in, I want deliverance. I really want deliverance. And if you could see a picture of them in the spirit as a soldier, it would be the saddest excuse for a soldier ever to walk on this planet Earth. And they're wanting us to just lay hands on them and they get delivered. It's going to be them warring against those demons by the power of God. It's not going to be so much us warring against those demons in them. They're going to have to war against those demons. They've got to let God build their strength. They've got to come in and begin to really wait on God. They come in. Okay, let me give you an example. One brother, he says, I've been thinking about committing suicide. He had all these feelings outside the church. The moment he comes in, he kneels down. There's nothing there. And so now he doesn't pray with any intensity. I said, brother, you've got to think about what it was just like outside those doors. You've got to pray, even though you can't really feel that thing, but you've got to bring that feeling back to remembrance and begin again. Now, what was it like? I was just out there about ready to kill myself, do this, jump off a cliff, whatever. I've got to come against that thing, even though now it's gone underground again. I've got to come against it. They say, I really want deliverance. I said, brother, I know you really want deliverance. But unless you come to the cross, unless you wait on God, unless you let God strengthen you, unless you let God by His Spirit bring these things up, you're not going to get free. One girl was back here praying the other night, and she was just waiting on God. She was just saying, Jesus, I want just a deep love relationship with you. She just wanted Jesus. That's what we must be doing. It's not just to want deliverance, it's really to want Jesus. Jesus, oh, I need you. Oh, God, what proves I need you so much is how dead I feel. Jesus, Jesus. And she was praying, just waiting on God. And I don't know whether it was a vision or just an impression in her mind, but she saw herself in a bed, and she saw Jesus. And she was saying, Jesus, come and love me. Come and just minister to me. And then she looked next to her in the bed, and there was a skeleton. Oh, who was that? Didn't know what it was. And then she had the same feelings come over her as when she took LSD. Now, whether that was the demon doing it or God forcing the demon or whatever, but it showed her that that skeleton that God wanted to deal with next was a spirit of drugs. Now, who authored all that? God authored it. God set that up. And as she waited on God, God could get exactly what needed to be dealt with. See, that's how this is being done. It's not a thing of, I want deliverance, I go down and pray, therefore God has to deliver me. It's, Lord, I've got to be delivered. Lord, it's your will to deliver me, but it's going to be in your time. But the only way we're going to find out what His time is by praying, by waiting on God. It's the only way. Prayer is a prime example of the war we're in. It's contested so strongly because this is where the victory is won. That's where the victory is won in prayer. I know some of you aren't even hearing this. This so concerns me. All this yawning, all the distractions going on, this really concerns me because that is more of the workings of the devil. And I know there's a flesh that gets antsy, but there's something that goes beyond that. And some of you still aren't even hearing this. You need to begin to say, yes, I hear what you're saying. Prayer, prayer, prayer. I'm going to come and pray. I'm going to let God teach me to pray. I mean, you've got to be taking a hold of these statements and doing something with it. You've got to be saying, God, help me to take a hold of this. I don't hear ranting and raving incoherently. I get something to say. This is from the heart of God. This is for your salvation. This is getting the bride. This is making the man child. Really? Really? A life of prayer is a life of victory, but also a life of prayer is a life of battle. It's both. You cannot have just a life of victory. You won't. You're going to have a life of battle, victory, battle, victory, battle, victory, battle, victory! That's what you're going to have all the way to the kingdom of God. The battle doesn't stop until we're on the other side. That's why we need God so much, because it's a continuing battle. Do you know the enemy never stops attacking? He looks for every opportunity. See, we've got to recognize how much we need God. We talk about the abundant life and all the joy and all the peace. Yes, that's so marvelous. But you don't have that without battles that lead to victories. And then victories that lead to more battles. And those battles leading to more victories. If you're dead right now, then that should prove to you that you've got demons. One brother called me up yesterday. He said, I've been dead for 2.5 years. My reaction, my heart was, brother, you don't know how important it was that you finally could admit that. You took a sledgehammer and you didn't even know you were doing it, and you just gave pride a big blow right across the skull. Been walking around, everything's fine. That's how he's been looking. And how you doing, brother? Fine, just fine. No problem here. Dead. There's a lot of you in that same boat. A lot of you in that same boat. And you have got to come to grips with this move of God. This is a move of God. This is a real move of God. Prayer demonstrates real faith. If we don't have faith, we won't pray. We need to say right now, as a whole body, Jesus, increase our faith. We need to say, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Why do you think God told us that He was sending forth angels of faith? They're vital to the victory. They're vital to the deliverance. He didn't say He was sending forth angels of feeling faith. Angels of faith, no matter what you feel. Faith, no matter what you feel. Many of you, and I talked to one other brother about this, and he agreed wholeheartedly, many of you have been sapped of your faith over the past couple of weeks because you're not getting delivered. But I think there might be a better way of explaining that. I think that what more is happening is that our lack of faith is being exposed. I think that is more what is happening than anything else. God is showing us that we're not quite the people of faith that we like to think we are. How long will you keep believing God for healing before you go to the doctor? How long will you keep believing God in certain areas where you got a weakness before you resort to trying to produce an Ishmael? We got a lot of Ishmaels in our lives. We got them. They're running all around inside. Open doors to demon spirits and didn't even realize it. We have to really say, Lord, give me such a faith. Lord, I'm going to just take it by faith. Your word is true. I'm going to wait on you no matter what. I'm not going to let anything keep me away from waiting on you. One brother was saying he'd go up there and pray, and those demons would say, I'm thirsty. So he'd get up, walk down, and go get a drink of water. Then he'd come back, determined to pray, and then those demons would say, I'm hungry. And then he'd go get something to eat. And then by that time, he has to go to work. You need to come against that and say, I did not come here to feed my face. I did not come here to drink at a watering trough. I did not come here to walk around nervously. I came here to do business with God. I did not come here to pray for others. I came to get my deliverance. Now, if you reach a point where you've prayed as much as you can and then you feel it upon your heart to go pray with somebody else, do that, yes. But some of you, you shouldn't really be laying a hand on anybody else. You should be down here prostrate on this floor, head buried in this pew, arms raised, talking in English, saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. My marriage is a disaster. I don't know how to raise my kids. I don't know how to witness. I think about witnessing, I go into just panic. I can't even imagine coming up behind this podium. I can't imagine doing these things. Who's at work? Demon spirits. We got to come to grips. Deliverance depends to a large degree on the intensity of prayer and to a large degree on the willingness. Oh God, make me willing. Oh God, I don't care what it costs, make me willing. Make me willing to get delivered no matter what kind of a deliverance it's going to be. I don't care if I'm down here on the floor thrashing around those demons talking and swearing and anything else. I've got to be free. Let the manifestations come if they've got to come. Some people have gone into a ditch. And because they've heard some people get delivered with no manifestations, they're saying, me too, Lord. Me too, Lord. Me too, Lord. And God says, sorry, with you, it's going to be this way or no other way. I mean, we've got to come to a point where we say, I don't care how the deliverance comes, I've got to be free. I don't care who sees me. Now, hear me on this. We got a lot of prayer meetings going on in homes. We don't want those home prayer meetings to be deliverance services. We want you here. We have got to watch over this thing, or else the devil is going to come in and bring imbalances, excesses, and you're not going to get your deliverances. You're going to get hurt. We've opened up this church. You come here and pray. Don't be starting all sorts of other prayer meetings to pray out there. Let's start all those. Come here and pray. And my recommendation, unless you have a real specific directed prayer meeting, an intercessory type for a certain area, if you just kind of got a general prayer meeting, I'd say just have it here. and just come here and wait on God. That'd be my recommendation. Now, if you have, you're not sure and what category yours fits in, feel free to come and talk to me. I'm just giving you what I feel would be a wise thing to do. We need people here praying. And if you're there praying for people to get delivered here, we need you here laying hands on them. A lot of people are coming up to me and they're saying, well, boy, now, I'm not a leader and I'm not an assistant. Can we pray for people? Yes, keep praying for people. You see a dead bump on the log there. I saw one couple come in the other night. They sat back there for about 2 hours, didn't pray one bit as far as I could tell. I just didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know what they expected. We've got to come in and pray. We need a whole horde of people with faith that'll go up to those people and say, let us just lay hands on you and pray that God will get you ready for your deliverance. That's what we need. And we don't need that in a prayer meeting somewhere. We need it in the prayer meeting here. We need this. And they say, well, what if they ask us to rebuke a demon? Rebuke every demon in hell if you want. But it's when there's manifestations that we got to get a leader over there so that we've got somebody with wisdom and anointing that can direct it so that it doesn't go into imbalance and excess. We keep praying like we've always prayed. But put some more intensity into it. And begin to realize how important it is to be praying this hour, because we don't get these people free, and if we don't get free ourselves, we're not going to make it into the bride. It's a bride without spot. That means no demon. There's not going to be any demons in the bride of Christ. There's not going to be any demons in the man-child. And see, he's doing it right now. And if we push this off and say, well, my time of deliverance will be later, and I've got these things, I'll tell you, brother, nothing matters right now except you to get delivered. Painting your house? Forget painting your house. That's my feeling on the matter. Forget, who cares about waxing the car? A lot of you, I mean, I am so concerned. I want you free so desperately. And that you're using all sorts of excuses and you don't even realize how they're working to rob you. They really are. I preached up at the Kirkland Church a couple weeks ago, and I, right at the end of the message, I just felt to bring this point about, don't. It's not time to wax your car. It's not time to redo your lawn. It's not time to do all sorts of things that take you away from being able to pray. It's just not. It's not the time to do that. It is time to cultivate a prayer life. It is time to really call on God. It's time to become people of prayer. It's time to become people of faith. We've got to become that in this hour, or the hour is going to pass us by. It's going to happen to some of you. It's going to pass you right by. It's like the person who says, well, I just like life too much, and I'll give my life to Jesus on my deathbed. How many deathbed repentances are there? About 1 in 7 billion. Very few, very, very few. They're just virtually non-existent because they've set their heart a certain way, and right there on the deathbed, that's not going to do enough to change their heart. Even facing eternity, it doesn't do enough to change their heart. And I'm speaking straight, and I'm sure some of you are going to be upset at me, but I'm not going to let that bother me in the slightest. And I'm not able to qualify every statement. But I'll tell you, the reason I'm speaking this way is because I love you. I love you. God has put you on my heart. And I am wanting to give myself so you can be free. But if you won't take the pathway that God lays out, there'll be no deliverance. We must come to grips with our life in prayer. We need to come to grips with every area of our life as we're waiting on God. You need to look at your marriage. You need to look at every single area. And begin to say, oh God, are there demons there? Are there things there holding me back? What is it, oh God? Open me up. Reveal. Search me. Let me know if there be any wicked way in here. That's what we need to be doing, really coming to grips. And in prayer, we need to come to grips with the Word of God. What does the Word of God really tell us? How does it tell us to live? What is He really calling us to? We've got to really come to grips with this book. I'm coming down here, and as I'm praying, I'm opening up to the Psalms. And I'm just reading it, and I'm pouring over it, and I'm opening up my heart, and I'm just taking these truths, and I'm saying, yes, God, do that in my life. And I see David over and over again just opening up honestly before God. He's expressing his feelings, whether positive or negative. He's just opening up. He's just standing naked before God, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what you need to do. And we've all got to do it. And we've got to keep doing it even after we get delivered to remain delivered. Other else, we're not going to stay delivered. See, these demons within, they must be brought up to the surface. And you've got certain feelings, and if you just think that's you, and you won't ever talk to the Lord about it and really present it before Him and say, Lord, what is this really? Those things are all going to stay there, suppressed. They're all stay hidden in your life. That's the way it's been. I am convinced that over the years at Community Chapel, since we didn't really know how to deal with this, we wanted to walk with God, I think things have made inroads in our lives. Things have been here from our old lives, and we've worked and we've walked and held to the word, but in certain ways, what we've actually done, unknowingly, unwittingly, deceived to do so, we just suppressed these spirits. And now they are way down in here, and it's going to take some real prayer to get them up. And it's going to take some real prayer waiting on God to get them uprooted and out, exposed, manifested. We're not able to just come up to somebody and say, okay, you got demons, you got this demon of anger, I command you, demon of anger, to come up right now, we're going to do business with you. It doesn't move an inch. It doesn't budge. Because that demon knows that it's not predicated on the person praying for the individual and what his will is and what his faith is primarily. It's that person's will and it's their faith. That's what's going to really budge that demon. That's what's going to really get that demon exposed. Some people are having, I prayed with one brother and he said his thing was on him. He didn't really know what it was, but what he was feeling, he just, when he was a small boy, this is how diabolical these demons are, but this is how honest we've got to be. That demon was on him, and he didn't know really what it was, but all he could remember is how when he was a little boy, he loved this little dog, this precious little puppy, small boy, and something came over him, and he smashed that dog on the cement or beat it up with a rock or killed it with his bare hands, and he had to voice that thing to expose that demon. That was a demon of violence. But unless he'd really be honest and open up and begin to realize it's not exposing him, it's exposing that demon. And he's free of the deed, even though he yielded to it, because that's under the blood of Christ. But he's got to get that demon out as well. Some of you husbands are really getting violent around the house. You better come to grips, or you're going to end up hurting some of your children. You're going to hurt your wife. One lady came to me, and she said, I got this thing. I said, okay, what is it? She said, I got a demon of rage, okay? What's happening? She said, I've taken my one boy, just aggravates me. I'm not trying to, you know, embarrass you. Nobody knows who you are. I just know. I want people to know what's going on. I want you to see how serious this is. And she just, the demons in her boy would agitate the demons in her, and she took his pants one day and wrapped them around his neck and was about to choke him to death. And then she realized what she was doing. And she said, well, I've got to get delivered. I said, you've got to come to the cross. You've got to come to the cross. I can say, you demon of rage, leave right now in Jesus' name. But I don't think anything's going to happen. She's got to come to the cross. She's got to come to grips. Now, we're praying with people when they come like that. And they say, I got this thing and I did this. And we say, okay, let's pray. Let's come against that. And we're finding case after case, nothing happens. Because they haven't really come to grips with it yet. They haven't really come to the cross yet. I know one lady kept saying things about how she's going to commit suicide. And then through some people ministering to her, she finally saw, and I hope she sees this. I hope she really does. I hope she came to grips with this. She saw that she hadn't even come to the cross yet. She wasn't even really willing yet. But she wanted to blame us more or less because we weren't really praying with her and we weren't getting the results for her. We can't get the results for her. She's got to come to the cross herself. And the only way is by praying. Don't allow anything to keep you from your deliverance. Don't let anything. Fight, fight, fight. These demons, when they come upon you on your job and suddenly you're just in a confused state, fight! Fight them! Take the word of God! Pray! Say, God, help me! I don't care if your supervisor's there. I don't care if a customer's there. Your salvation and your deliverance is more important than what a customer thinks about you. I'm not saying don't do some loony, idiotic, imbecile type thing, but you've got to fight. If you have to say, excuse me, ma'am, I got to go do something, and that means go back in the far back restroom, close the door, and begin to pour your heart out to God to get that demon off your back, then that's what you've got to do. These things are too important. But people out there, they get the demon start attack. Oh, yeah, see, that means I'm ready for deliverance. They run over to the church. Say, brother, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. See, you're not ready for any sort of deliverance. They haven't come to the cross. I mean, this is really the truth. I know this isn't getting through to a lot of you. At least it hasn't. I hope it does this morning. Because if it doesn't, there's nothing going to be that we can do for you. Really, I mean this. I mean this with all my heart. I know what I'm talking about. We're finding it day after day, day after day. Now, we'll do everything to help you. But generally, all that we can do is get you to kneel down here, and we'll get some people just to begin to minister to you. But you're going to have to come to grips. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to see God. And if those demons then come up, then we'll be right there to help you. There'll be leaders there. There'll be people to support. Don't let that demon put fear in. That's why God said he was sending forth angels to dispel the fear. But we've got to take these things. Each one must declare all-out war on Satan. It's not enough that I say, I declare war on you, demon spirit. Not enough that I do that. You've got to do it in your own personal life. I'm declaring war every day against them. I am standing against them. I have been harassed. I've been hindered. I've been buffeted. And I am standing against them every moment of every day. I am not going to let them rob me. I'm not going to let them keep me from ministering for God. I'm not going to let them keep me from praying. And if I can do that by the power of God, that same power is available for you. Some people are coming and they want a shoulder to cry on. I'm sorry, we don't got any real shoulders for you to cry on. We're not here to give you self-pity. We're here to help you become a soldier. We're here to make you into a man and woman of faith. That's what we're here for. Oh, you poor dear. Oh, I know those poor little demons are attacking you. I feel so sorry for you. No, we're not going to do that because we want you to grow up. We want you to come to grips. That we'll do everything to bear with you and help you and encourage you and do all that we can. But it comes between you. It finally boils down to between you and God. Your relationship to Him and what you're really going to do with the Word of God. It's going to come down. What are you going to do with God's Word? What are you going to do with what God has said? You're going to let these demons... See, if you yield to those demons, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up in the lake of fire. Do you realize what that means? Eternity of torment? Oh, they're just pushing so hard and this thing's pulling so much and, oh, I just had to give in. Give in to the lake of fire? Go turn the oven on, broil, and crawl in and see what it's like. What would it be like? The lake of fire is going to be a billion times worse than that. I mean, that's the truth. And I'll tell you, really, if you're getting all upset and agitated, what I'm doing is I'm exposing those demons. And I want you free. I can't tell you how much I want you free. Because I know it's right, the heart of God. Don't become that first generation that loses out through unbelief. Unbelief. I just can't believe I can get delivered. That's that demon. It's that demon speaking in your mind. Saying, I just can't believe I can get delivered. Demon, you can't get delivered, but I'm going to get delivered. That needs to be the approach. I mean, there's got to be something boiling. There's got to be some intensity. There's got to be some determination. I'm not talking about a show of the flesh, but I'm talking about really coming to grips with these things. I mean, really, this is not the time for me to preach and say, well, we got a little battle going on here, and some of you are going to end up in the lake of fire, and we feel real bad about that. Tough luck. See ya. Write us if you can. We're not here to preach like that. We're here to get you free. But these things got to be exposed. Remember, it must be your own prayer life and your own relationship with Jesus that will keep you delivered once you're free. Now, of course, it's going to be a number of factors with that. It's going to be your brethren. It's going to be your pastor. It's going to be this church government. It's going to be the Word of God. But the key thing is going to be your prayer life. Why has that thing been so hard to cultivate in us? Because the devil knows that that's the key to real victory with God. You don't find any man of God who ever had power with God that didn't have a life of prayer. You don't find one. You cannot name one. You cannot! And I'm not talking about people like Billy Graham because they don't really have power with God. I'm talking about people that have had miracle ministries. I'm talking about people that could really do something to get the hand of God to move in fantastic ways. They had a life of prayer. That was the foundation of the whole thing. We hear this call that we're going to do greater things than Jesus as the man-child company. How are we ever going to do that without really knowing God? I mean, we've got to really know God. We've got to know Him. We've got to know His heart. We've got to know His plan. We got to know where we fit in. We've got to know Him face to face. That wasn't just for Moses. That wasn't just for Isaiah. That wasn't just for David. That's for all of us. You know God wants you to be able to know Him face to face? I'd like to take time and walk around to every single one of you and say, brother, He wants you to know Him face to face. Sister, He wants you to know Him face to face. You tell me that same thing. Tell me. Take it by faith. Believe it. Take the steps. That's what I'd like to do. Don't quite have the time to do it. If you won't pray, you won't make it. And brother and sister, you can pray. Okay, people don't, they got a wrong concept of prayer. If you, as a housewife, can sit around the home, and you're all of a sudden you're busy in the kitchen doing all sorts of things, and the phone rings, and you go over the phone, and you're still doing things, and it's one of your girlfriends, and you can somehow glue that phone to your ear, and change the diapers, cook the meal, wash the dishes, clean the floor, do 15 other things, and still carry on a conversation, you can pray. People are coming to me and they want to talk. I'm saying, if you can talk to me, you can talk to Jesus. You don't need to talk to me. You need to talk to Him. Talk to Him about it. Because I can't get the revelation across to you. It's not going to be, okay, now it's these words. Now if you'll just hear these words, hear these magic words. Here they come. And then they will. Okay, did you get it? They're not going to get a thing. They've got to hear it from God. They've got to hear it from God. You've got to hear it from God. This sermon's not going to do that much unless you hear it from God. You're going to say, does that man really know what he's talking about, Lord? Does he really know what he's talking about? If so, God, show me. You know what God will do? He'll show you. He'll show you. He'll show you. He will. Make this one vow. I will pray no matter what. Now, it's going to have to be by the strength of God. It's going to have to be by the wooing of His Spirit. But that's already been happening in our lives week after week, month after month, year after year. How many times has God wooed you to prayer? Every one of you, you can tell me, absolutely, if you'll look back in your past, there's been many, many times that you knew God was calling you to pray. And what have we done with it? In most cases, we've just, well, we added 5 more minutes to our prayer. We added, we increased a half hour for 1 week, and then it all dissipated over the next week. See, that's what's happened. It's happened over and over again. I'll tell you, God is going to have a people that they're going to be waiting on God. And we're not talking so much about the time. We're talking about the quality. Real prayer. And you can be praying when you're on the job. Jesus is there! He's right there. He said He never leave nor forsake us. But to be able to talk to Him. As I'm driving down the road, I just start saying, Jesus, I love You. Jesus, I need You. I'm telling Him what I'm feeling. I'm saying, these things are bugging me, harassing me. Lord, help me, get me through, give me strength. I'm just talking to Him. I'm letting Him become my best friend. I'm finding that He's there like I haven't known before. God wants all of you to have that. That ain't just for the ministers. That ain't just for the elders. That's for every one of us. And let me tell you this. If there's a group in this church that has been more buffeted in this area, in my opinion, it is the eldership. God wants to do things with your eldership so that God can do things with you. And the eldership has really been hindered. And each one of the elders is having to come to grips with this, no matter how busy their ministries are. I don't care how much an elder is teaching or doing this or doing that, he's being called to this same thing. And so we need to really be supporting one another in this thing. We have got to become a church of people that really pray, that really wait on God. You've got to count the cost. What's it going to be like when you start to kneel down? See, this can motivate you, and you say, okay, I'm going to pray. But what's it really going to be like when you kneel down? Oh, the devil might pull a real clever strategy, and he kind of have a wonderful time of prayer the first time. But then he picks up his attack, and he pushes, and he buffets, and he just brings just a little damp. And then the next time, it's a little bit more severe, and the next time, a little bit more severe. And then the time of prayer is going down, the quality of prayer is going down until you're back in the same mode of prayer as before. Count the cost. Count the cost. Just like an endurance runner. Just like somebody training for some athletic event. They have to do as much as they can, and then what they do to really become a top quality athlete is they always go 10 minutes more or 15 minutes more. And they say, okay, I'm just fatigued, but I'm going to run another 440. And they put everything they've got into it, and they make a determination, and they run that, and they're really tired. And now you need a coach. You need Jesus to be your coach. Because that person can overdo it and say, well, if I ran one, I'll run another. And then he collapses and ends up in a hospital for 3 weeks, and then all of his training has gone, just been taken away from him. So you got to be careful, but we have got to come to these prayer meetings. You've got to come. You've got to come. And you can't come expecting that the moment you walk in, you're going to get your deliverance. It's not happening that way. God is, He's asking, how much do you want to be delivered? How much do you want to be delivered? How long will you keep praying? How long will you keep seeking God? How long will you keep letting God draw upon your heart? How long? What price will you pay? Do you know that as we keep paying the price, God's making us more and more into His image, more and more into His likeness? And we've got to see this for what it really is and what God's trying to do. There's always going to be casualties. We've already lost some, we'll lose some others. I know that's going to happen. But do you know you don't have to be a casualty? You don't have to be a casualty. You don't have to lose out. You don't have to be defeated. The question is, will you call on Jesus? 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 Will you? Will you? Will you really call on Jesus? Or do you just want to call on a counselor? Just want to call on somebody to talk to? This happens so many times with wives that have had problems, and then they end up with a real close relationship with a girlfriend, and all they ever do is they pour their heart out to that girlfriend, and they don't pray. See, will we call on Jesus? Will we call on Jesus? What are we going to do? See, we've got to say yes. We've got to say yes to God. Don't let any demon rob you. Don't let those demons rob you. Don't let those feelings rob you. Don't let that happen in your life. The Word of God says that he that begun a good work, he's going to perform it. He's going to bring it to pass. Brethren, he's begun a good work at Community Chapel, but it's going to cause something to bring it to pass. Will you call on Jesus? That's the pathway of deliverance. It's the pathway. There's no other pathway. Lord, I've got to have you in my life. You're going to have to make this decision. You're going to have to come to grips with this. You're going to have to decide. I talked to your brother last night, and I mentioned this to you, but I just told him, now, you're going to have to come here, and you're going to have to pray, and Jesus will meet you. And if when you get in your car, and you can make a decision not to come here and pray, you can make a decision to come here and pray, no matter what the pressure is on you. If you can make a decision not to come to church, you can make the decision to come to church. And I said, anytime you come here, you let me know you're here, and I'll get people for you right away to pray for you. And I'll get people that'll just minister to you. But they're not going to be able to stay with him 4 hours if he stays there 4 hours. They're probably only going to be able to pray for him maybe a half hour, 45 minutes. And then he's going to be left alone, just him and Jesus. See, just to be left alone with Jesus and find out about who he really is. See, who is Jesus? Who is he really? Who is he? I mean, we don't really know. We don't really know. We don't really know. We don't really know. We need him. We've got to have him. Have a song.